Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello, and welcome to the show tonight. I'm so glad you chose to join us. We've got quite an episode lined up. And I have to think that if you've tuned in to listen to this, there's some big ideas that are going to come your way. And I want to just, you know, normally I start off with a monologue to get things going, but I want to just jump into it. Tonight, our topic is your will, divine will. So for so many of us, our religions, and I'm talking about global religions here, all across the globe, God alone has the power to transform our human condition. Many of our religions tell us to surrender to God, pray to God, and turn it over to God, and God will handle it. Yet here we sit. Here it is, 2017. And war is quite prominent on the planet. Suffering and struggle is a very real part of our human story. If indeed God with a big G, is going to handle this, what is God waiting for? If God is indeed the Almighty, what gives? God alone will not solve our human suffering. Yet, you know, on a personal level, we can feel disconnected and powerless when we look at the headlines that we read. So what gives here? Where does our will and the will of God actually meet? What can we do with our own human nature to make a difference in the world today? This is a really exciting episode. I'm so excited about this because there's some very powerful ideas here that set you free, that really open up the doors to your divinity, your own divinity, and allow you to embody the divine idea of you at any level that you choose to. And we're going to talk about your will and God's will. We're going to talk about how to personify the divine potential each one of us has. We're going to talk about what is different about this chapter of our human story, this time around, this incarnation, if you will. I suggest to you that if you're listening to this episode, your heart and your soul have some really big ideas for you in this lifetime now. And I want you to know that those ideas are already vetted. They've been weighed, measured. They're compatible with your happiness. They're compatible with what your own sense of heaven on earth would look like. And it's your ego. It's your sense of self. It's your ability to embody that will decide at what level your divine potential will manifest in this lifetime. So however much you can embrace the divinity of who you are is a scale of manifestation, if you will, that will decide how much you show up as a divine power player in our human story. The field is ripe. The harvest has come. We are at a very powerful transition point in our human story. And this next chapter, I suggest to you, this next chapter is going to have some remarkable people come out of everyday walks of life, from every corner of the earth, from every culture, from every paradigm. There's going to be human beings that wake up to their own divine potential and show up in a kick-ass way. And we're going to see that on a scale that perhaps planet Earth has never seen before. Because we have this medium, we can communicate these ideas with each other. And there's so much information about our divinity. There's so much information about our karma. There's so much information about the process of creation. So settle down and relax and listen. And I suggest you come back and listen to this episode again and again, perhaps. Because I suggest there's going to be parts of it that resonate with you, and there's going to be parts that might not. And yet, I'm the only way I know how to speak when the on-air light is on is from my heart. So it'll be my sincere effort to language the truth in as clearly and succinctly as I can. So let's get a few things straight. Every single prophet, savior, lord, deity that has ever come to earth, period, every single one of them from every religion anywhere on the planet has not ended war, has not ended suffering or slavery or abuse or torture. All those things are happening today. Every single religion's prophets, lords, saviors, priests, deities, popes, pastors, you name it, every single one has come and gone, and we still have a quagmire today. So it doesn't matter if they're coming back a second time, a third time, or however many times the Dalai Lama has incarnated. That part doesn't matter. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm totally in awe of what Jesus accomplished in his lifetime. He is such an ambassador of love, and I totally respect with a very deep sincerity his ability to love. And I very much hold him up in my life as a personification of what unconditional love looks like. And God is there to help us. I'm pro-God, I'm pro-Jesus, I'm pro-divinity. But let's get a few things straight. We've got to be clear with ourselves. We have to be truthful with ourselves if we're genuinely going to know what our role is in this next chapter. So with that said, it's pretty clear nobody stopped war yet. Slavery, suffering, there's all kinds of human pain and suffering happening on this planet today. No religion, no deity, nobody who has gone before us has ended these attributes of suffering in our human condition. And let's talk about God with the big G, the big God, the big guy. It doesn't take a lot of math to realize there's been billions of prayers to end wars over the centuries of human suffering. Of all the wars on the planet, and there's been many, many wars over many, many, many generations, billions of prayers have been spoken to the divine almighty, and here we are today, with war and suffering and pain and sorrow. I mean, that goes without saying. So how's this supposed to work? I mean, does God have the power to transform the human condition? Is God waiting for something? When Jesus comes back, is anything going to change? And again, don't get me wrong. All I'm saying is, if God divine, the big guy, was going to stop wars, it would have happened by now. If prayer alone would have stopped wars, it would have happened by now. But it hasn't, and here we are. If it's divine will, it would have happened. If it was the will of God, it would have happened. But so how do we figure this out? How do we, I mean, where does the big guy, the big God come into the picture of this? We're here for the human experience, and that's a really important part. We're here to figure things out from the human perspective. No deity, no glowing orb, no glowing deity will come down and silence the guns on the battlefield. No deity will come down and wave their hand and end slavery or suffering. We've gone through countless generations and eons of time, and in all of our mythology, that's never happened. This is really setting the story up for a most exceptional time in our human story, because God Divine certainly has an awful lot to offer us. When it comes to ending wars, God has an awful lot to offer us when it comes to ending slavery and suffering and pain. For it'll be through our human condition, our human paradigm, our human storyline that we will indeed bring heaven on earth back to earth. That we will bring peace on earth, or actually peace has never left earth. Peace left our human persona. Peace left our human demeanor. Peace left our own ability to live a peaceful life from the human perspective. Peace has always, always existed on this earth. There's vast tracts of peace all over the planet. Nature, by her very nature, knows how to live in harmony. But when we talk about the divine will and the end of suffering, it's our human condition, it's our human persona, it's our human demeanor that will bring it about. And that's what's really exciting. Because if God's not going to come down and do this and just wipe all our problems off the table, and it's quite evident that's not going to happen, then it's awaiting our own desire, our own will, our own resolve to do that. And that aspect, through our own resolve, that aspect is a very powerful archetype for us to fulfill, a paradigm, if you will, for us to fulfill. There's just trillions and trillions of watts of desire. What do I mean by watts of desire? I'm using watts as a reference of power. There's so much power in our human desire for a change. It's not hard to see in our human culture that so much of humanity is tired of the struggle, is tired of the deceit, is tired of the exploitation and the pain and the suffering. And that creates a raw desire in our human culture. There's 7 billion people on the planet, and there's an immense amount of desire for change. Well, that desire for change in and of itself is power. The desire for change is a sense of power. If there's no desire, if there's no potential, if there's no place for change, nothing happens. There's no power in that. But there is an immense desire for change. The days we're living at now are so powerful because we've kind of come around the bend as far as collective awareness. We've come around the bend in a sense of understanding. There's so many people now teaching about karma and love. and how those two interact with each other, how our karma impedes our ability to love, how our karma impedes our ability to intentionally create, how our karma energetically engages us in what's happening outside of us, keeping us in a sense in a state of karmic reaction, a karmic bondage, if you will, from the conditions our eyes show us. But what's so powerful about this chapter of our human story is there's communication. There's these things called internet radio shows and tweeting and emails and videos on the internet and books. You can communicate with the world. I can communicate with the world. And the world can communicate with us. There's so many sages and prophets and teachers. Jesus being an excellent example of that, showing us the nature of our human demeanor and where love can come into play with that and how fear can get in the way of that. There's so many people yearning for change, motivated for change, tired of the struggle, tired of the deceit, that they're motivated. Are you motivated? Don't tell me, tell you. Are you motivated to find out more about who you are? Are you motivated to find out about your own human potential and the potential of your own divinity, that divine point of presence within you? The day you were born, you didn't have an ego at all. All the sentences I'm speaking now would have made sense to an ego because there wasn't one in your persona the day you were born. Yet there was divine consciousness. There was that point of presence, that spark of life within you as a baby on day one. And that exact same spark is in you now. Your ego is not your divinity, your consciousness, that infinite well of consciousness that streams from inside you that your ego runs on top, is divinity itself. There's no separation between you and God with a big G. The Father and I are one now. The consciousness that you're interpreting this sentence with is God consciousness. It was there before your ego existed, and your ego is spending it now to interpret these sentences. So you have a divine spark in you right now, and right now, forevermore. So how do we put a leverage point on this divine consciousness? How do we take our own divinity and shape it with our own will to fulfill the divine will? God, I love that idea. How do we take the divinity within us now, this divine consciousness, the root of all consciousness, how do we take that and we put a fulcrum or a lever on it to leverage some effect in not only our own life, but the collective life of our human story? I suggest to you that's the journey of the soul itself, the timeless story of souls that venture out into the darkness, into the karma, into the quagmire until they've had their fill. And at some point they've had enough. Have you had enough? And they turn around and they say, I want to know the truth. I'm tired of being disconnected from my truth. I'm tired from being disconnected from the divine wisdom within me, from that higher wisdom within me. And they start to look for a deeper understanding of their own truth. They start to study spirituality and the idea of divinity and our own divine consciousness. History has proven to us it's not going to be through a single persona with or without a body. It will not be through a single persona that the human story has changed. I suggest it's going to be in a legion of Gandhis, a legion of Buddhas, a legion of Jesuses that come out of the everyday man and woman, that awaken in the everyday man and woman. So everything Jesus did, all the miracles Jesus did, he said, hey, look, you're going to do all this stuff too. You're going to do everything I've done, and you're going to do that and even more. Jesus knew it was coming for us, for you, for me. It's not going to hinge on any one deity coming back. They've all had at least one round in on planet Earth, and here we are in 2017, and there's plenty to do as far as expressing the divine will for humanity. So how is it that we take that divine consciousness that is us, within us, and we activate our own will, your will, and yet still fulfill the divine will? I suggest the answer to that is so graceful, is so elegant. It is indeed so divine the way this is all set up. We all have that divine spark within us, and that is literally divine consciousness. So, as human beings, how do we bring our own divinity into effect, our own will, and merge it with the divine will, the divine idea of what humanity can experience on this planet at this time? Well, let's talk about that. There's the idea of embodiment. What do I mean when I say embody the divine? When you look at your personal energy persona, that collage of energy that makes up you, there's going to be attributes within your personal energy persona that reflect elements of your life. And let me give you an example from my own perspective, from my own life story. I was 35. I was working in broadcast television. I love my job. I was so busy. TV is such a fun and exciting and fast-paced industry. I thought I had my life all set up. I was going to be a television engineer. And yet I had this very angry boss. I had a boss that was quite the scoundrel, a scallywag. He really did an excellent job being malicious. He was such a perfect angel, being a malicious boss to me. And what I'm getting at is within my personal energy persona, unbeknownst to my ego, and that's very important to understand, what I didn't understand about my personal energy persona is in my subconscious, off my radar screen, in my subconscious, I had an immense amount of anger. If you met me on the street, I was an easygoing guy. Hey, there's nothing to be upset about. What do you mean? I had no comprehension that anger was a decisive element of my personal energy persona. And the law of attraction had brought to me this perfectly angry boss. Now, how does this tie into embodiment? Well, we're going to get there. When I had spent almost a decade working for this boss, the anger within my own being that I was not aware of was starting to take a toll. I was having digestive tract problems. I was gnashing my teeth in my sleep. I was starting to get ulcers. And there was a moment in my life when I connected with this anger that I didn't know I had, and I released an immense amount of anger in a very short period of time. Well, that changed my life. It completely changed my life path. So how does this relate to you fulfilling the divine idea, the divine will of what your life can be? When I talk about embodiment, I'm talking about the ability or inability for you to embody the answer to the prayer. Now, what do I mean by that? For you to embody the answer to the prayer. So let's take a look at what that might look like. If your persona is loaded up with karma to the hilt, the karma is consuming the vast majority of your divine consciousness, that spark of life that illuminates your body and the cells in your body. Well, what do I mean by that? If you're so loaded up with karma, in other words, if there's so much energy in your personal energy persona that the life force energy coming from within you is so challenged or overwhelmed by karma that you're running on fumes. Well, let's look in society to see what that might look like. Maybe it's a panhandler at the corner who's so wiped out. Maybe they're a vet with PTSD, and I've seen them a dozen times. They're having a tough time getting through the hour. They're having a tough time getting through this moment. If they catch a cold tonight, that might take them over the edge and they might die. There's no power there. There's no personal power there. So the divine idea, the divine will of what might happen in that human storyline cannot embody into that persona because there's no resonance. What do I mean by that? So billions of prayers have been spoken for peace on earth, for the end of war, the end of suffering, countless prayers, billions and billions of prayers. Well, God Divine, the big God, has answers to those prayers. But answers in and of themselves doesn't bring it into our human condition. We've done the prayer part over and over and over again, perhaps to excess. So the answer to the prayer is an idea of vision of what will change our human story. And that's the contribution God Divine has for us. An answer. But that doesn't mean diddly squat unless we can embody it as a human being. What do we mean by embodying the answer to the prayer? Okay, and I'm so sincere. Please, God, let's knock this war crap off the face of the planet. Let's eradicate suffering. And there's an answer from the divine that can make that happen. It's not going to be the single waving of a wand. It's not going to be jumping jack flash, poof, and it's done. It's going to be a human story, a human progression, an incremental change of our human condition. So here you are, here I am, we're having this conversation about divine will and our own will. So what the hell? So let's talk about embodiment. The embodiment of the answer to the prayer, the embodiment of heaven on earth, the embodiment of unconditional love. So if I go into a kindergarten class or a first grade class and I speak calculus and I'm speaking the principles of calculus, literally the energy flies through the room with nowhere to land. There's no consciousness in the presence of that dialogue that can resonate with the energy, that can resonate with the information. And yet, if we hold those sentences at bay and wait, and all the kids in the class go and do addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, geometry, algebra, pre-calculus, etc., now we're getting close to the vibration of calculus. So we go back in front of the very same people and we say the very same language, but this time there's an energetic match. They're close enough in frequency that the shift can be made and a resonance happens and the information is conveyed. So what happened? The ability to receive the information changed. The information didn't change. The ability to receive the information changed. I suggest you every single time we pray ever, the answer comes. But if we're not aware of how information travels in the energetic realm, and we don't prepare ourselves to be able to receive and embody the answer to the prayer, it bounces off us, it goes right through us, because there's no resonance, there's no ability to connect with the answer. So we look out at our human condition. Okay, let's end war on planet Earth. Well, boy, howdy, I feel like a musician. I don't feel like a anti-war protester. I feel like a musician. I get really excited about music. I don't want to fight the war, or I don't want to do anti-war stuff, or war is just not in my vibe. I don't want to do that. Okay, cool, fine. Yes, indeed. In fact, it won't be, when we talk about the healing of our human condition on planet Earth, it's not going to be an anti-anything. It's not going to be an anti-anything. It's going to be a pro-action, a pro-vision, a pro-embodiment. What do I mean by that? When heaven is on earth, everyone has a sustainable lifestyle. Everyone has a sustainable environment. Everyone has the ability to resolve anything that challenges their ability to live with ease and grace and multiple options. That's a very important part. Sustainability comes from multiple choices. So I am talking about your life. I am talking about your will. I am talking about your role in this next chapter of humanity. When I hinge it around suffering and slavery and war, it doesn't mean that your contribution to this next chapter has to have that language in it at all. What's going to end suffering on Earth? Choices. What? Choices. Many choices. Many possibilities about everything that happens in our life. So let's go through a few scenarios. So you're driving your car around and you forgot to change the oil, and it's been 20 years now and finally the oil is shot and you're still driving it and the engines don't like that too much and the engine blows up. Poof. Your car's broke. Well, you can go on the internet typically and Google auto repair, or I don't want to date myself here. You could go to the yellow pages and open the book. And there'd be pages and pages and pages of auto repair shops. You have choices. You can decide anything about the repair. Okay, well, what if your power goes out? You have the electrical power in your house. Now, some people have more than one choice, but for many of us, if the power goes out in our house, there's one number. There's only one number we call, the power company. What the hell kind of choice is that? Well, what about our money? There's only one currency. There's one currency. I've been teaching karma a long time. You want to describe a karmic train wreck? Get a single syllable and hang everything on it. And that's that symbol, not syllable. Get a single symbol and hang everything on it. Your income, the kind of car you can afford, the kind of vacation you can take, what kind of medical care you can afford. It's all hinged around a single symbol, and we flip and gamble over the value of that symbol. That's a karmic train wreck. Karma 101 says that's a train wreck. Entry-level karma says that's felony stupid. And here we are. And it's hilarious. They're pushing for a global currency. Yeah, okay, let's make an even bigger train wreck. So what about you? What about your storyline? What about your passion? What about your will? Yeah, you have to stay compatible with your own authentic desire. Do you have to stay compatible with your own authentic desire? Well, actually, no, you don't. There's a ton of people out there that are not authentic. There's a ton of people out there working jobs they hate. There's a ton of people out there that are not authentic to who they really are. But I'm talking about heaven on earth. I'm talking about peace on earth. I'm talking about you fulfilling your divine will. God doesn't want you to live your life out of balance. God doesn't want you to be run ragged day in and day out. God wants you to love yourself. God wants you to learn how to love yourself without question, without cause, without purpose, just love, unconditional love. When you learn how to love yourself over and over and over again and practice that over and over and over again until the point where love is the first choice that comes to your mind, where self-love is your own preferred choice as the first choice, when you can live in that stream of unconditional love for yourself, I'm talking about self-love here. When you get better and better and better at loving yourself, you're setting yourself up to embody the divine will of your life. When you learn how to love yourself without condition, reason, or cause, unconditionally, you're learning how to purify your own personal energy persona. You're learning how to embody love in your choices, thoughts, beliefs, and actions. You're learning to understand what sentences that are based in love sound like. Love has a language to it. Fear has a language to it. When you learn to love yourself, you're preparing yourself for the divine idea of your life. Jesus taught self-love. Jesus taught love of others. Jesus taught divine love. If you can embody love for yourself, How can you be a vehicle of love for you, for the divine? So people kneel down and they pray to God and they say, holy crap, this is a tough SOB world. Help, help. And God sends love. What? God sends the idea of love. The answer to the prayer is love. Can you embody love? Does your ego know how to live in the language of love? Do your ears know how to recognize the language of love? Do you know what it feels like when you love yourself? Do you know what it looks like when you observe people living in love? Fear has brought this karmic storm upon us. And it will be the washing away of the karma and the reintroduction of peace and love within our own personas, which will be the divine answer to the prayer for peace on earth, heaven on earth. It will be love. When you can love yourself without condition or cause, practice that today. Practice it tomorrow. Practice loving yourself as much as you can. The more you practice today, the more you'll be in fine form for loving yourself tomorrow. Because what's going to happen is, as you purify your own personal energy persona, you're moving the vibration of your consciousness into the realm of love. Love with a big L. From God with a big G. And there's something that happens once you pass compassion. Compassion for humanity. Compassion for yourself. There's some kind of a magical thing that happens. That before you have compassion for humanity, you can't embody the big ideas. The big, vast visions of what your life can look like as you become a vehicle of the divine. The will of the divine becomes your will, because let me tell you, there's nothing more satisfying on this planet than being a vehicle of unconditional love for others. You want to feel fantastic? Do you want to feel your heart open up so much that Your ego cries tears of joy? See, there's a curious thing. At the beginning of the show, I told you that these are the days, this chapter of humanity, this is it. We are at the precipices of a time of our human story that is, I would suggest, never been replicated before on this planet. We are so connected tronically. And we can connect through our hearts. There's so much flipping technology now that you can have an inspiration from God and you can take it all over the world just like that. You can write a book and it can be ready for sale on the other side of the planet in short order. You can come up with an idea for a product and go through 3D printing and refine the product in weeks and then walk up to an investor with a prototype that you printed up the day before. You can come up with a new way to distribute food. You can come up with a new way to purify water. You can come up with a new way for people to feel a sense of safety on this planet. You can come up with a song that touches a heart. You can come up with poetry that opens the eyes. Are any of these words about war? They're not. Are they directly related to the end of war on the planet? You better believe it. Just by you fulfilling through your own personal desires in a genuine, authentic way. And I suggest the more you purify yourself, the higher vibration prayer you can embody. And once you embody it, the law of attraction, once you can embody the answer to the prayer, God fulfills that vision through the law of attraction, bringing to you people that are in resonance with the embodiment of the answer to the prayer. Your soul goes before you and arranges the storyline to play out in you, through you, as you. All those things we talked about have nothing to do with war, but they will end war once they are embodied in mass. Do you want to move humanity towards peace on earth? Bring new choices. Can you see a realm of our human condition where there's very few choices to people in how they sustain their life? Invent new choices. Empower the human being. Create a sustainable lifestyle all over the planet where everything we need to keep our life going can be fulfilled through many different choices. If one choice goes corrupt, there's 100 behind it. That's freedom. That's true, genuine freedom. So who are you? What is your desire? What arenas of expression get you excited? Is it music? Is it art? Is it writing? Is it designing? Is it helping others? Is it systems? Is it economics? Don't tell me, tell you. So what do you do? What do you do? Pray to God. Listen. This part's really simple, but it'll kick your ass. Listen. What do I mean by that? Listen. You have so many thoughts in your head. Some of the thoughts come from your heart and your soul, and for many of us, most of our thoughts come from our ego. Listen. And learn how to discern when you get an idea from your heart and your soul. Learn to discern when that idea you got is the divine answer, and then write it down. That sounds so simple. Go get a post-it note or a pad of paper. Keep it handy. Get a few of them. Put one in the car, one by the bed. And typically your brain will be doing something else. You'll be unloading the car with groceries. You'll be doing something in the bathroom, brushing your teeth. And here comes this idea. Poof. Start writing that screenplay. Stop what you're doing and write that flipping sentence down verbatim. Don't edit it. Don't change it. Write it down. Okay, well, who am I to write a screenplay? No, stop. Write it down. Don't bring it up in your ego and start bitch slapping that thing. The sentence was pre-vetted. It's been thought through. It's compatible with your happiness. So you write it down. You get back to what you're doing. Maybe the next day, a little later, something else is going on. And write a screenplay about a boy. A boy. Write it. So get the paper, write it down. Why is this powerful? Because if you don't write it down, typically what happens over and over and over again is you'll get that divine idea, and the very next sentence you take it up in your head and you start rationalizing, well, I don't know how to write. I mean, who wants to hear my story? What am I going to do with the screenplay? I don't know any blah, 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 blah. And your ego butchers it. But what you'll find over time is you're going to get all these post-it notes with all these ideas, and you're going to start to see a theme show up, a theme for your life. For myself, Hell, I'm a TV engineer. You want to do a live shot? You want to uplink to a satellite? You want to go live globally? I know how to do that. You want to make 1,000,000 watts of power through a big-ass transmitter on a mountaintop? I know how to do that. Les, write books. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That sounds exciting. Les, write books. What? Are you deaf? I'm kidding. Les, write books. Oh, my God. I never, in those first moments, when I first got the notion to write books, it didn't resonate with any part of me. But thank God, pardon the pun, thank God that I understood that that was part of my life path. I understood that when I made it my will to write books, I was fulfilling God's will to empower humanity. And the last book I wrote, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, teaches your ego how to become compatible with your divinity in a powerful way. Citizen King, Citizen King, The New Age of Power. When I write from the love in my heart, I'm fulfilling the divine will for humanity. I'm fulfilling my part of the puzzle. Les, start a radio show. Huh? What? Who, me? And this show is one of the most satisfying parts of my life. We interview really powerful people on this show. You gotta follow us. Sign up for our newsletter at newhumanliving.com. Get my books. I'm here to get you off your ass and show you the excitement that your ego will feel. Your ego needs to understand how totally cool it is to honor the divine inspiration for your life. Does that have to happen? Nope. You can turn this off right now and do whatever the flip you want. You have free will. You always have free will. But let me tell you what. When you start to honor that divine inspiration that's handcrafted for you, you go to bed at night feeling satisfied. You go to bed at night feeling a sense of fulfillment. Your heart's happy, your soul's happy, and your ego can't believe how your life is unfolding in such miraculous ways. I mean, how cool is that? So let's take a review of what we've talked about. No single persona ever has ended war on this planet. No savior, no lord, no deity that's incarnated, period. It's not going to happen through a single individual. It's going to happen through an ocean of individuals. A tidal wave of divinity. A tidal wave of open hearts. A tidal wave of compassionate human beings who can capture and embody, like skillful masters, the answer to the prayer of the end of suffering. Bring in a deep sense of peace on earth, a deep sense of joy that we've transcended our past, we've cleansed our karma. There'll be a generation in the future that goes, what's that war crap that happened way back? I heard the stories, I can't imagine that. That's got to be crap. That can't be real. That'll be a joyful day. So what the hell? It's not going to be through a single individual. It's going to be through people like you and me doing what we feel motivated to do. Remember all those things I talked about had nothing to do with war, and they directly related to peace on earth, heaven on earth, happiness on earth, happiness in you, satisfaction in you, inspiration in you, fulfillment in you, through you, as you. I'm so excited for our human condition. I'm so excited for our human story. I'm so excited for your life. I'm so excited to hear how you honor the inspiration of your own heart and your own soul. It's my pleasure, it's my passion to help you understand how to do that. That's why I'm breathing. I wrote a book called Personal Power Fundamentals, and that's all about embodiment. It prepares your personal energy persona to embody the divine inspiration from God. I don't write it that way in the book, but it's directly related to that. Personal Power Fundamentals is about the purity of your own personal energy persona. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they can see God and receive the answer to the prayer and embody it. Capture the inspiration of the divine, embody it, and let the law of attraction do what it's going to do. I wrote Citizen King, the New Age of Power, to teach your ego how to be compatible with divine power, to teach your ego about sovereignty, your own personal sovereignty, and dominion, not over others, not dominion over others, but dominion over your field of expertise. You're here to write, speak, sing, create as the divine personified, as the answer to the prayer. You don't need anybody's permission to fulfill your divine calling. You need to understand that at an organic level. Boy, I tell you what, an hour goes by fast. I get excited about this stuff. I could talk about it a lot longer than just an hour, but I'm so delighted you chose to join us and be with us in this show. Honor who you are. Please honor your own authentic purpose. Don't do what I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just pointing at your own authenticity and saying, hey, look at that. That looks cool. Our human potential it never wanes. It's infinite. We are divine consciousness incarnate. We are the thing itself. Don't ever be afraid of our story or our paradigm. We're always bigger than anything that's happening outside of us. We've got a most exceptional chapter of our human story right here in front of us. And you are here now. How convenient is that? You are here now to fulfill your part of it. You're going to feel wonderful when you show up for that. You have already done that by listening to this episode. I'm your host, Les Jensen. It's been my pleasure spending this time with you. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living Radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.